New census figures released today draw a picture of a nation that enjoyed great prosperity during the 1990s. Incomes rose, homes got bigger, and people got more education. But not everyone shared in the economic good times. In some areas, it was another round of that familiar refrain, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. NPR's Pam Fessler has more on the new findings taken from the census long form.
Hundreds of parents and their children come each weekend to the South Germantown Recreational Park in suburban Maryland, 25 miles northwest of Washington, D.C. There are 24 new soccer fields, baseball, miniature golf, and an indoor arena with 8 basketball courts, a tribute to the growth and prosperity enjoyed by many in this region.
Jasmine, watch your back!
Candy, who did not want to give her full name, drove here from nearby Virginia so her daughter could compete in a basketball tournament. She says her family is among those who benefited from the economic growth of the 1990s.
We're in the construction industry, so, you know, from like 94 on, it's just been booming. So it's been good for us.
That's true for many of the people she knows. She says the signs are everywhere. Homes in her area go for $500,000 or more, and there are cars, lots of them.
We have 5 cars and 3 kids, and it gets kind of crazy that way, you know. Everybody's got a car. It's kind of ridiculous if you ask me, but that's the way it is in this area.
And in other areas, too. New figures released from the 2000 census show that the median household income in the nation was $42,000, up from an inflation-adjusted $39,000 10 years earlier. The median value of homes jumped almost 20% over the decade. A greater percentage of those homes had 8 rooms or more. There were other signs of growth as well. By the end of the decade, a much higher percentage of Americans held managerial and professional jobs, and more people had bachelor's and graduate degrees. William Fry is a demographer with the Milken Institute in California.
It's a decade where we have nationally increased our education level, where we have nationally reduced poverty for many groups to some degree, where many people have done much better in terms of their income. And it's also a decade when we brought in many more new Americans to different parts of the country.
In fact, the foreign-born population grew 57% during the 1990s. Immigrants now make up more than 11% of the nation, the largest share since 1930. 18% of the population speaks a language other than English at home. While prosperity may have attracted many of these immigrants, not all reaped the benefits. John Logan is director of the Lewis Mumford Center at the University of Albany. He says things didn't go as well in some areas with large immigrant populations.
It's a symptom of the whole Northeast that median incomes increased a little bit but lagged behind the nation, and poverty increased. So while we had prosperity at the top, I think, it was not widely shared.
In New York City, for example, median income declined by $800 over the decade. The poverty rate rose to 21%. The national rate was about 12.5%. Logan says the same trends can be found in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., where a tide of rising income failed to lift all boats.
Mustard chili cheese today.
That's certainly the case for Noor Ghani, an Afghan immigrant who's run the same hot dog stand in downtown Washington for 11 years. He's not doing as well as he used to, ironically because a revitalized downtown means competition from more new restaurants. Ghani says it's a struggle to support a wife and a child on an income of less than $25,000 a year.
It's too hard for me. Now I'm old for this business, but I can't do nothing else except this. They don't hire me because I don't know that enough English.
John Logan of the Mumford Center says the growing gap between rich and poor is especially pronounced when comparing those who live in the suburbs and the inner cities. He says there's one important message, though, in all the new numbers.
There's not a single pattern for the nation, and that's probably the biggest part of the story here, that we have to look region by region to see just what is going on.
Some urban areas, such as Chicago and Detroit, are doing much better than they were a decade ago. And there's growth throughout the South. The census long form also asked about commuting. About 76% of workers said they drive to work alone, and there was an actual drop in the number of people who reported using public transportation to commute. Rose Sheridan of the American Public Transportation Association says that surprised her.
Our latest numbers show that over the last 6 years, ridership has gone up 22%.
She says some of the ridership increase is for reasons other than work, but she still thinks that public transit use for commuting is on the rise. And that brings up another point. All these census figures are based on a survey of 1 in 6 households taken 2 years ago. Much has changed since, and the accuracy of the data depends a lot on how carefully and honestly people answered the questions. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
And there's more new census data at our website, npr.org.